We live in a world reinforcing a lie. What lie? The lie that there is only so much to go around. That those who have are stealing. Stealing from those that have not. Every area of your life, my life, our lives, is affected. Panic, jealousy, and obstacles. It becomes a catalyst for our complaints, a scapegoat for our failures. But what if all of that was built on a lie? What if we're seeing everything, from a completely different perspective than what God intended? What if our view has been completely distorted? What if you could see, I could see, we could see that there is more than enough for everyone, all of us in this world, to find success, fulfillment, joy? How would that change how you live your life?
If you have a blue Chrysler Town and Country, don't move yet, because everyone will know it's you. But in just a few minutes, you might want to get up and slide out, because your slider on your van is wide open, and there are Canadian geese around. Just saying. I cleaned them up this morning. So just so you know. All right. Well, I really hope that everyone's going, who's getting up? Who's getting up? I really hope that you have enjoyed this series. This has been, it's been a fun series for me to teach. And my goal throughout this whole series is really to point you to the fact that our view of the world, our view of things is really turned upside down. That we have believed, accepted, allowed that lie that there's only so much to go around, so we better grab onto it, we better hold on to it, we better keep it as tight as we possibly can, because if we don't, then we're going to miss out, and that if somebody has, it's because we don't have. If somebody gets it, they stole it from us, and it's really ours. And if somebody's got it, they need to share it with everybody else, because that's the way it's supposed to be. But in reality, that is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God is the God of more than enough. That if we're willing to follow him with passion, if we're willing to follow the purpose that he has for our lives, that God has more than enough to provide us with everything that we need to accomplish the calling that is called for our life. We don't need to take it from somebody else. We don't need to step on somebody else. We don't need to use other people to get ahead. We just need to embrace the calling that God has given us so that we can experience all that he has for us. And we've been talking about all these different things and how they fall into this. And this last one, I think, quite frankly, is going to be my favorite, because I don't know about you, I grew up in church, okay? My dad was a pastor. I think the very first Sunday I was alive, I was in church. And I've missed very few since then, you know? And I think that's probably why my immune system is so powerful. But and you understand when you're in church and you hear all these things as a kid and you grow up, my dad was a great pastor. I love him to death. But there are certain things that when you grow up in church, especially if it's kind of more of a structured, you know, church that's got, you know, Sunday school and that type of thing, you get to a point where you think sometimes that following God is about following the rules. That following God is about making sure you don't color outside the lines. That outside the box means outside of God's will. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. that God has created each and every one of us unique and different and varied, and the purpose and the goals and the things that we want to pursue in our life are different, but we do it within the way that God has built us and created us. I believe that the Bible teaches that each and every one of us at the moment of our conception, God places within inside of us a purpose, a plan, a goal, something that he wants us to achieve. People call them dreams, whatever. The reality is that God has placed within you a purpose and a desire for you to accomplish certain things in this life. And God is not a God that is unfair that goes, now you go figure it out. God is a God that goes, I've given you this plan, and if you follow me, I'll give you everything that you need to accomplish that. And that's where I think true enjoyment in life is found. There are some things that I've learned over the years that I hate doing. There are just certain things I'm not a fan of. I am not a fan of taking out the garbage. Not a fan. I am not a fan of certain kinds of foods, like, you know, I don't know, spinach, kale, chips, or any other kind of kale. Just certain things in life that I'm not a fan of. Cats, for example. I'm just not a fan of certain things in this world. But what's amazing to me is that there are other people in this world that love those things that I don't like doing, that loves the things that I don't like. There are some of you that actually, you go out and you pay money to other people because they've taken kale and dried it and put like garlic on it so that no one will talk to you. And you eat these things. You purposefully do that because you enjoy it. I don't understand it. Some of you like cats and you have them in your house. Some of you, I know this for a fact, some of you literally like geese. You're like, I think geese are so beautiful. I don't understand the purpose of geese. I truly don't. They don't even taste good when you kill them. So I don't understand the purpose. Some of you love them. They're like, oh, they're so pretty. I love them. I get that. Because God has created us varied and different. And so how you and how God has created you to enjoy life is going to be different than me and how God has created me to enjoy life. And here's where this lie that God keeps something from you becomes so destructive. The world tells us that there is a certain equation that equals happiness. That there are certain things that you need to truly enjoy life. Money, power, position. These are the things that you need to truly enjoy life. If you don't have these things, you cannot enjoy life. Now, I want you to see what's so ironic about that. People say, well, this is the way God is. You got to follow the rules. You got to do that. And the Bible goes, no, that's not the way that God is. But that is exactly the way that the world is. The world tells you if you don't have these things, you cannot enjoy life. And you go, well, God's never given me these things. That's because that's not how God made you. God made you to enjoy certain things that he did not make me to enjoy. And God made me to enjoy certain things that he did not make you to enjoy. I enjoy sitting 20 foot up in a tree on a little 2-foot by 3-foot stand in the cold weather waiting for Bambi to come by. I enjoy doing that. Some of you are like, I don't understand that. That is stupid. That is weird. I get that. But equally, you're probably the people that eat kale chips. So that's okay. We are all different, and that is okay. In fact, not only is it okay, it's great. Which means that idea that there are certain things that you need to enjoy life is baloney. And what happens is if you buy into that, you start looking around you and you start asking, why don't I have what they have? And even though you may be fully satisfied with where you are, because you don't have what they have and the world says that you need to have that to truly enjoy life, you begin to think to yourself, I must not be enjoying life. I don't feel depressed, I don't feel overwhelmed, but apparently I'm not enjoying life because I don't have what they have, and I'm supposed to have that. That's what they say I'm supposed to have to be really happy. So here's the big idea for today. It's really simple. Enjoy what you have instead of longing for what you don't. Enjoy what you have instead of longing, desiring, hoping, wishing for what you don't. Because if you understand this concept that God has made us all different, I don't need what you have. Some of you over the years, because if you've been at Friendship for any length of time, you know that my least favorite animal on the planet is cats, have come up to me and tried to convince me how wonderful cats are. Somebody at one point in time, literally, I kid you not, tried to give my family a cat. Because they said, you just have never experienced the wonderfulness of cats. I said, I grew up with two of them. I know what cats are like. I don't think they're necessarily evil, all of them. But I'm just not a fan, and I'm highly allergic. So if you give it to me, I'll probably go into cardiac arrest. So please don't do that. So there's reasoning behind it. But some of you are like, man, if I didn't have my cat, I don't know what I would do with myself and my kale chips. I don't know what I would do. And see, that's a beautiful thing. Because without you, cats would not exist anymore. God created us all different. God created us all different. And that's a good thing. And it would be crazy if I woke up one morning and I thought to myself, I see you and I see your life and I see your four cats. And I think to myself, they are so happy. Apparently, the key to their happiness is cats. I've got to go get some cats so that I can be happy. That makes no sense. That's insane. But here's the thing. Insert anything else. They've got that great job, and that's why they're so happy. So therefore, I need to get myself a different job so that I can be happy. Well, they have this much in their bank account. Therefore, I need. They have this many cars. They have this kind of house. They have this kind of family. They have this kind of this. They have this kind of that. Therefore, I must need that to be. It's insanity. It doesn't even make any sense when you start breaking it down. It's like the emperor has no clothes when you start going, well, this doesn't make any sense at all. And that's the whole point. We need to enjoy what we have instead of constantly longing for what somebody else has. Because here's the key. You might get that, and because that's not the way God created you, you will be more miserable than you currently are. Or what it cost you to get that will be the very things that would have given you enjoyment in life. C.S. Lewis, he's an author, a writer, a theologian of the last century, said this. He said, man's problems are not that our desires are too strong. It's not that we want things too much. It's that our desires are actually too weak. You go, I don't get that. Here's what it means. We desire wealth, power, fame, all these things, and we want these things. And he goes, here's the thing. The desire is not what's wrong. It's what you're desiring that's wrong. Instead of desiring these things that are going to fade away and aren't going to last and are causing all sorts of issues and problems for the people that actually are trying to achieve them, instead desire for the thing that you cannot even possibly imagine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says that God desires for those that are willing to follow him more than you can think, imagine, or possibly dream of, more than you can even begin to think of. God says, listen, that's what I want your heart to desire. I want you to desire the impossible dream that I placed in your heart the moment that you were conceived, the moment that I created, the moment that I gave you life. That's what I want you to desire. We go, that's scary. If I desire that, that may not happen. Yes, and in fact, without God, it won't happen. Because God's purpose for your life fits into his overall purpose for the world and how you fit within it. It's not that your desires are too strong. It's that they're too weak. You're not really wanting what will really give you full satisfaction in life. John Piper, he's a pastor of Bethlehem Church out in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is, I think, really cold today. But he wrote a great book called Desiring God. And within that book, he writes this quote, and I'll explain it to you. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. You go, what does that actually mean? Well, here's the thing. We have bought into the lie that only outside of God can we find full satisfaction and fulfillment in life. And God says, no. You're missing the whole point behind it. Only when you fully commit and follow me will you find true satisfaction. And this idea of God is most glorified in us goes back to the fact that the Bible teaches that the duty, the responsibility of each and every one of us is that we're to glorify God. As a church, we our vision statement is to glorify God as an effective and an influential church. And it says we're to glorify God, or we're to lift high the name of God. He says, listen, here's how you do it. You do it by being satisfied in Him. Well, how do you be satisfied in God? How do you pursue God in a way that makes sense? How do you do that so that you actually are satisfied with God? It's kind of a tough thing to process, but here's the best way I can put it for you. Guys, those of you that are married, or maybe you've got a significant other that you're serious about potentially getting married to, if you came to her door, if you're not married, or you came home and you said, honey, tonight, I want to do something that I can't even, this will give me more joy. This will make me smile. In fact, there is nothing in the world that I can imagine that would give me greater joy than to take you out to dinner tonight. I want to take you out to dinner, and I want to just spend time with you. There is nothing in all the world that would give me greater joy than to just spend a few hours with you tonight. How many wives would go, well, you are so selfish just doing what you want? Did you hear that? It would give me no greater joy than to spend time with you. There would be nothing I would love doing. What they would do, they would feel like, really? More than football? Well, the Colts stink this year, so. And they're like, whoa, because they're honored by that. That is what this statement means. That you go, God, I just want to spend time with you. I just want to enjoy being in your presence. I just want to do that. That's what God has called us to. And what's amazing is that when we do that, then God turns around and begins to fill our life with all those things that we can enjoy and embrace as to who we are. It's not selfish to go, yes, I want more of that. In fact, that's exactly the way that God's designed it to work. So I want to give you three things. If you want to really fully enjoy life, there are three things you need to do. To fully enjoy life, I must reorder my priorities. Reorder my priorities. Now, for those of you that love to try to get ahead of me on notes, each one of them starts with an R-E, just so you know, so you can fill that in and feel good about yourselves. But reorder my priorities. Look at this, Psalm 37:4. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. He says, stop looking around at other people. What they have or what they don't have, what you have or what they don't have. Don't worry about that. Stop looking around. For like grass, they will soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they will soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good, and then you will live safely in the land and prosper. And here's the key, and I love this. Take delight in the Lord. Does that say, make sure you do it or else God's going to get you? Make sure you follow these rules because rules matter. It says take delight. Take joy. Celebrate. Look forward to those opportunities where you can spend time with God. Look forward to doing things, because when you do that, you have the most joy that you can possibly experience and have. It doesn't matter if you've got this, or the other thing, or they've got this, or they don't have this. If you're able to experience it, that's when you truly find enjoyment and fulfillment. And then I love this. It says, take delight, and He will give you your heart's desire. You see, this whole idea that following God short-circuits our ability to experience the joy, the fulfillment, the purposes that we have in our life is the exact opposite. Desiring God is the exact avenue through which we enjoy life the most. Because God, your creator, the one that the writer David says in Psalms, knit you together in your mother's womb, put you piece by piece. Your DNA that is within you, he's the one that placed those things where they're supposed to be in the way that they're supposed to be so that you have the passions and the desires, the loves and the hates that you have. All those things God placed within you. And so when God says, I will give you your heart's desires, he is solely the one, even more than you, that knows what will make you most joyful in life. He is the one that created you to love things or not love things or enjoy things or not enjoy things. And so what God does as a loving heavenly father is he goes, as you make your heart's desire me, then I am going to give you everything that you could possibly desire within your heart. Your heart looks different than my heart. That's okay. God's enjoyment and the way that he wants to give you enjoyment in your life is different than the way that it looks in my life. And that's okay. But God has created you to enjoy life, a rich and satisfying life. The second thing, if I really want to fully enjoy life, I must not only reorder my priorities, but I need to recalibrate my expectations. I need to recalibrate my expectations. This goes directly at the heart of this idea, this equation that the world throws in our face and says, this is what you need to truly enjoy life. World says, fame, wealth, money, power, that's what you need to truly enjoy life. If that's the truth, then we're all in trouble. Because there's only so much of that to go around. Not all of us can be famous, because if we're all famous, then none of us are famous. If you're not sure about that, just let that sink in for a little bit. Process what that means later. But look at what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing into this world when we came into the world. And we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Now, some people have used this verse to say, that's all you're supposed to look for in life is food and clothing. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, listen, let's focus, let's get a bigger picture on this. The world says that the material is the most important. In fact, of all the aspects, all the areas of life, the world has leveraged 99% of everything on the material. Wealth, power, fame, money, material, things that you can taste, touch, feel, experience, material, material, material. That is only one small part of who you are. There's a physical you, there's a spiritual you, there's an emotional you, there's a mental you. Those are all who you are. If all you're ever doing is feeding the material side of who you are, the rest of you is starving to death. And you'll never enjoy life the way that God created you to enjoy life. So until you take a deep breath and you recalibrate all of these things and you go, you know what? I'm spending so much time in the material, I have totally neglected the relational or the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and the way that God created me. And the world focuses all on that. But the problem is that when you do that, you literally starve every other part of who you are. Now, if you really need an opportunity, this is interesting. Because how many of you, by a show of hands, realize you're going to die? Okay. I have, for those of you that didn't raise your hands, I have a really hard thing to tell you. You're dying. And you're going to die. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But sometime you're going to die. Now, that is not really a bumper sticker that most people have. We don't celebrate that. We don't like that. But guess what? Here's the thing that's interesting. If you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says that death is not the end. Death is simply a door that transfers you into the presence of God. And that which transfers with you into the presence of God are the things that really matter. When you die, you cannot take material things with you. I've done well over 100 and some odd funerals, and I have yet to see a hearse with a trailer hitch on it. There are no U-Hauls that are rented for funerals because you can't take it with you. But you can take your spiritual, your emotional, your relational, your mental. Those things go with you. So from a standpoint of really understanding what really matters in life, if we take a deep breath and we recalibrate what really matters, we go, man, we have spent all of our life pursuing this material, and that, at best, 85 years. But all the rest of this, that really matters. That lasts forever. So we need to recalibrate. Stop spending so much time on the things that don't last and start spending time on the things that will last. So if I really want to fully enjoy life, I must reorder my priorities. I must recalibrate my expectations. And then finally, I've got to reclaim my calling. We're going to end today with the very verse that we started 4 weeks ago with. Because I think there's no fitting way to wrap up this series than to go back to the beginning, because my hope is that now that we've gone through all this, this verse makes a whole lot more sense. And it's a whole lot more impactful and powerful in your life. Because this whole idea of God being the God of more than enough directly flows through your calling. Directly flows through who God has called you to be. It directly coincides with the understanding that if you embrace your calling, you can have a hope, because God is the God of more than enough. That if God has called you to it, God will see you through it. God will give you everything that you need to accomplish the calling, the purpose, the passion, the dream, whatever it is that God, you want to call it, that God placed in you, that fits within His divine purpose and what He's doing in the world and your place in it, because you are part of something far bigger than you can even begin to imagine. When you embrace that, when you reclaim that, you said, I am so sick and tired of pursuing what the world says I'm supposed to pursue. Then I need this to be happy. Then I need this to be happy. Then I need that to be happy. We have leveraged our lives to pursue that which will not satisfy. We got to have a bigger house that's going to make us happy. Well, to get a bigger house, we've got to work more. Well, now we've got to work overtime. Well, now we can't spend time as a family as much. Well, now I can't exercise as much. Well, now I can't spend as much time with the kids. Well, now I can't coach the kids' soccer team. Well, now I can't spend time sitting with you and going on those dates. Well, now I can't, now I can't, now I can't, now I can't. Because we had to have something that God never intended for us to have in the first place. That God says, that's not, that's what the world says you need. That's not going to make you happy. And here's the sad part. We all know it in our gut. We know it's true. You walk to the grocery store and you see the tabloid magazines that are sitting there, that are right there at the, you know, you got to grab them. And you see the miserable lives of the people that have it. I would trade nothing to have that. I wouldn't, because that will not give me enjoyment. That will not give me satisfaction. That will not give me peace. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19, I pray that the perception of your mind, how you see things, how you understand the way that this world works, would be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His vast strength? When you are willing to reclaim that calling, You see, you know what? I've been pursuing all these things that the world says I'm supposed to pursue, and it's not done diddly squat for me. I have more stuff, and I don't have enough time to enjoy the more stuff that I've got. Reclaim your calling. What has God put in your heart to do? Maybe the first part of reclaiming that calling is getting your heart and your mind back in line with who Jesus Christ is. Believing that He's the one that died on the cross to pay for your life and your sins and your failures so that you can have a restored relationship with God. Maybe it's you need to really rethink how you're doing everything. And you need to have a real serious sit down with your spouse and just go, hey, we need to rethink some things. We're running all over the place. And we're not enjoying each other, our kids, our life. I think we're following that first part of John 10:10, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy. And we've missed the second part where it says that He wants to give us a rich and satisfying life. Maybe if it's you, just you by yourself, you need to carve out an afternoon or an evening where you don't turn on the TV and you turn off your phone and you don't get anywhere near an electronic device and you close the door with a nice big cup of coffee or Diet Coke or whatever it is that you need. And you just need to go, God, help me put things back in order. Because God desires for you to enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy all of it. And even the stuff that isn't enjoyable in the moment, God uses it for your good and for His glory. The question is whether or not you're willing to make the changes necessary to be able to live a life that's rich and satisfying. Father, we thank You for the fact that You actually want us to enjoy life. You actually want us to embrace everything that You've called us and equipped us for. God, You have given each of us a purpose and a calling that fits in within Your bigger picture and bigger purpose of what You're doing in this world. And God, I pray that we would understand that You are the God of God, that is the God of more than enough. That You have given us everything that we need to be able to become all that You've called us to be. And God, let us stop having weak passions for the things that will not satisfy, but instead pursue all that You've called for us, God. Help us to recalibrate and reorder and reclaim those things that You've placed in front of us so that we can become the men and the women that You've called us to be, so that our families would be the way that they're supposed to be, so that our lives would be ordered in a fashion that, God, You would bless. Not that things are easy. That's not what You've called us to. You haven't called us to ease, but You have called us to enjoyment. Help us look at the balance of our life and understand that, God, the reason that we're struggling with things is because we're pursuing the things You never called for us to pursue in the first place. God, help us have a picture of who You really are so that we can see who You really have made us to be. God, I pray that the perception of our minds would understand the hope of Your calling. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship.